Let's do a couple of things as we start this inductive Bible study. We're going to be going through the first part of observe. As we know, there's three parts. It's observe, interpret, and apply. So we're going to show you guys over the next couple of months how to really dig in deep into the scriptures. And I guarantee you this, if this is your desire to grow in the Lord, you're going to do that. This is a foolproof method if you devote yourself. And we're going to be giving you guys some homework, but it's going to be a good amount of homework, so I think you'll be blessed. I'll probably say this maybe at the end, but I remember when I was in the Bible ministry school at Calvary Chapel La Mirada, and the Lord just told me, you're going to get out of this whatever you put into it. And so there was one particular passage going through the same class that we're going through. It's kind of like a class. And I spent 20 hours on one passage, and I absolutely tore this thing in 1 week. I mean, I just tore up this passage and grabbed and observed so many things and interpreted and applied so many things. And I was amazed that there was that much, that there was even more. I just felt like I was just scratching the surface at 20 hours in 1 week. So I'm not asking you to spend 20 hours this week, but I am asking you to put a little bit of time into it. So what I want you to do is turn to a couple passages. I need everybody to turn to Luke 24, and then I need a couple of people to read some verses for me. I need two people to read Matthew 4:4, and another one to read Matthew 6:11, and they're really close. So who wants to read the first one? All right, Ruthie's going to read Matthew 4:4 in just a minute. Hold on. And then who's going to read Matthew 6:11? Mike will. Okay, so as we look at this, how to start, how to study the Bible, the Word of God, it's absolutely critical that we have an understanding and an agreement about what our view is of Scripture. So people who don't care about studying the Word of God, people who don't care to grow in their relationship with the Lord, wouldn't really be attracted to something like this. This is something where there has to be some sort of drive. There has to be some sort of an appreciation. That doesn't mean that people don't love the Lord. I'm just saying that people who want to grow in the Lord will absolutely grow in the Lord by understanding this. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read a verse, and then I'm going to go to Ruthie and then to Mike. And this is the basis for our needs. So I'm just going to kind of paraphrase the first one. But if you're taking notes, and you're going to need to take some in just a minute, I'm going to lead you through that. I'm going to give you some steps for this. But Luke 24. So the basis of our need. If you remember, one of the things in Scripture, and we'll be getting into this more as we go through, but it's called typology, where things are types in the Old Testament of things that are seen and present in the New Testament. So one of the things is that when Jesus took the Jews through the wilderness, he said, I'm going to provide for you, and I'm going to give you something that will rain down from heaven, and it is called manna, right? And then every morning, they would gather up the manna, they would cook it up, they would eat it. If they kept it more than a day, it would rot. And so that becomes a picture, because later on, Jesus says, I am the manna from heaven. That manna that the Jews, that our ancestors have eaten, it all points to me. And so in Deuteronomy 8, there's several places in here, but Deuteronomy 8:3, it says, so he humbled you, he allowed you to hunger, and he fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. So what I want you to understand, and this is going to go into the verse that the next couple of verses, but there's one thing. I want you to understand the frequency. The frequency is every day. The Jews had to get up every single day and gather manna, except for on the day before the Sabbath. And God says, I'm going to provide twice as much for you so you can rest on that day, because that was his agreement. Here's my promise to you. Here's my covenant with you. I want you to rest fully in the Sabbath, which, by the way, just so you guys understand this, that points to Christ. Christ is our Sabbath. That's who we get our rest in. Amen? So you have to understand there's a frequency being talked about this. There's a participation. Go and gather the manna. Do it every day, right? You and I need to be reading the Bible, getting our manna every day. You guys see that? Okay, so Ruthie, read for us Matthew 4:4.
But he answered and said, it is written, It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.
It's very similar. It's taken from the same passage, from the same quote. Jesus is talking, he's speaking to his disciples, and he's talking about the need for the word of God. But one thing that he says here is not just, and each one of these, they're almost identical, but I want you to understand this. He's not just talking about frequency. He's also talking about the degree or the depth. The degree or the depth. And what he says here, Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone. And in that day, bread was very filling, very nutritious. Not like the breads that we eat today. It was really, really good bread. And it went bad quickly, but you would eat bread and it would be substantial. It was a staple of your diet. But he was telling these people, you don't live by bread alone, because their thinking is, that's what I eat. That's what I take in on a daily basis. But he says, but man shall live by every. Are you guys with me on this? If you're there at all, then you're tracking with me. Matthew 4:4 says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so when we come to the scriptures, if you ever wonder why are we going through verse by verse? Why are we going through word by word? Because man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. All right, okay, so let me I'm going to quote this for you guys again, okay? It's more interaction. And I told you, it's a transition for all of us, right? As we go into this, I do want you to interact. So, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So, when we come to the scriptures, we're looking at every
word.
That's the depth. That's the degree. Listen, the struggle for me tonight, and probably for the remainder of this study, is how deep do I take everybody? Because it could be overwhelming. There's so much. And just stay with me, because I'll point it to you in scripture where God tells you it's overwhelming. So you have to take it as much as you can take it, but you have to push yourself to get into every word. And so Mike, read Matthew 6:11. This is going to talk about how do we get this. Matthew 6:11.
Give us this day our daily bread.
So what's the how is it that we obtain the word? By prayer. We ask for it. We request it, right? So listen, that's going to be our first step. If you're taking notes, if you want to know the steps, there's going to be 3 steps tonight. That's going to be the first one. We're not there yet, but that is how do you approach the scriptures? And there's this one man, I don't have the quote in front of me, but he says, studying the word of God without prayer is atheism. And I think he said, preaching the word without prayer is assumption. Like you assume you know what God has to say. I can only tell you this, in the last month I've had a couple of studies that I felt like they rocked. I just felt like, man, it was like flowing. And I've had a couple studies that have been, I felt really dry. This week the Lord showed me, you didn't really pray as much. The first two I was begging the Lord. J. Vernon McGee, and there's other guys who have done the same thing. J. Vernon McGee was once approached and they said, how is it that you always have something to give? And I know not everybody's called to teach or to pastor, but I want you to understand this. The principle is true for every Christian. And J. Vernon McGee was asked by a young preacher, hey, how is it that you always have a fresh word? How is it that you're always giving something that is substantial and true from the word of God? Someone's insight. And he goes, you have got to pray and you've got to pray and you've got to pray. You've got to beg the Lord for the word of God. And so when we come to the word, we have to say to him, give us this day my daily bread, my manna. I need the word of God. If you're not doing that before you read, you're missing out on something. I believe that you can still grow in the Lord, but I believe it will be more intense when you're begging God. God, I need this. I absolutely need for you to minister to me. I need the word of God. You know, it's prayer. So prayer works most when we're in need, right? When we're on our knees, because there's some, we're broken, we've got some disease, we've got some family issues, financial, whatever it is, we're driven to our knees, and then God responds. So we live lives of luxury, we kick our feet up, and then we're not praying to God. When you come to the word of God, church, you've got to pray. And I'm going to show you that in the scriptures. There's a guy who died not too long ago, I think within the last couple of years. His name is J.I. Packer. And one thing that he said was, there we go. He quoted, he says, "If I were the devil, one of my first aims would be to stop folk from digging into the Bible." Here's a guy who's been with the Lord for a long time, and he said, "If I were the devil, the very first thing I would do, my first aim would be to try and stop these Christians from digging into the Word of God, because it grows you. It's what sustains us. That's why man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word." You want to get fed, really truly fed, you got to get into God's Word. So as we approach this study, I want you to know this. 10%, there was a study, I think it was Harvard that did this study, 10% of what we retain about 10% of what we read. So if you're reading, you'll get about 10% of it. When we hear something, it goes up to about 20%. People are more likely to remember 20% when they're hearing it, right? When you watch somebody demonstrate it, the percentage goes up to about 30%. When you combine 2 and 3, when you hear and you see it demonstrated for you, you go up to 50%. When you combine number 4 with writing out what you learn, which is combining 2 and 3, when you hear, you're demonstrated, both of those are taking place, and you're writing out what you have learned, which you should be taking notes. Anytime the Word of God is being taught, have a pad of paper. Be ready to write something, because it's like prompting you. I'm ready to hear from God. The retention rate goes up to 70%. Now listen, these are facts that a Harvard University did. I've heard them in different ways, taught differently, tell, show, do. But when you do the work, when you're applying what you're learning, all of the things taking place, and then you apply it or you practice it, the retention goes up to about 90%. So the whole point of this, telling you all these percentages, is that we're going to be practicing. We're going to be interacting. I'm going to teach, we're going to interact a little bit, and then we're going to have practices at the end of our time, okay? So pay attention. I don't want you to miss it. There's two prerequisites for productive inductive Bible study, and one is a willingness to slow down. You have got to slow down, and you just, and I'll give you more illustrations as we go through, but you can't just read through it. You guys, you know how you're like, listen, if I just read through this really quick, I get my daily reading, then I can move on to whatever else I have to do today. That's not the way we're not tourists. We're not looking at the high points and moving on. We're slowing down. We're gonna explore. Okay, I want you to think of yourselves as explorers. And we don't have anybody named Dora here, but if we did, it would be perfect. Amen. If we could say like Dora the Explorer, right? So you guys get me on that. I'm glad. Thank you for laughing at that. That was not that good of a joke, but I appreciate it. That's the first prerequisite: a willingness to slow down. I cannot emphasize the things I'm trying to put as much into this as I can. If you guys will put the time in, you're going to grow so much. The second is the desire to carefully observe what the passage is literally saying, unbiased by prior experience. In other words, regardless of your theological views, you cannot go into the passage and say, because I think this, that's what this passage is saying. Real quickly, and I'll pray for me that I get to actual some practice time with you guys tonight, okay? Because there's a lot to share. I'm trying to synthesize this. There's two things called eisegeting and exegeting, okay? Eisegeting, exegeting. When you eisegete, you read into the passage. Well, I believe that there's a pre-trib rapture, therefore I'm reading into this passage and saying, that's bad. Whether a pre-trib rapture is right or wrong, it's bad to take a predetermined theological point and read it into a passage. What we want to do is we want to exegete. We want the passage to read out to us. Are you with me? There's a huge difference. And if you ever talk with somebody who's unreasonable, they'll hear what you say and they'll respond without really listening. And you know what I'm talking about. God doesn't want you to respond without listening. He wants you to meditate. He wants you to slow down. He wants you to absorb everything. He wants you to allow this to come out unbiased. If what you believe in is challenged by what you're studying, it's a good thing. You may be wrong. And that goes for every single one of us. Nobody's perfect. There is one author of Scripture, that is the Holy Spirit. His interpretation of Scripture is flawless because he's the author. Are you guys with me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Martin Luther said, I study my Bible in the same way that I gather apples. First, I shake the whole tree so that the ripest might fall. Then I shake each limb, and when I've shaken each limb, I shake each branch and each and every twig. Then I look under every leaf. I shake the Bible as a whole, like shaking the whole tree. You know, he's go back and he's explaining it. I shake the Bible as a whole, like a whole tree, to get the context, to allow everything that is good to be revealed. Then I shake every limb. I study book after book. That's the overviews of the books. Then I study every branch, giving attention to the chapters when they don't, when they do not break the sense. And that's observation. We're going to get into this again more in detail. Then I shake every twig and I carefully observe the paragraphs and sentences and the words and their meanings. And that's going into word studies, Greek, Hebrew word studies. Are you guys with me? So it has layers to it. And that's what we're going to learn. We're going to be going through layers. Tonight is part one of observe. Next week, part two. Right? And then we're going to have a Thanksgiving celebration. We're going to have praise and worship, and we're going to just glorify God. And then we'll come back after that, and we're going to do part one, interpret, and interpret part two. And then we're at a few days in between, and then we'll go to the A's, two parts. So now that you guys are there in Luke chapter 24, I want you to see that Jesus promised to do this very thing. Luke chapter 24, verse 45. And you're going to see all three of these, and if you don't, I'll point them out to you. And even if you do, I'm going to point it out to you. Luke chapter 24, verse 45, Jesus did this very thing with his disciples, and Luke records it. And I want you to know this, he'll do this for you too. Luke 24, verse 45, it says, and when he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. The word for opened, it means to open thoroughly what was closed previously, as in the minds of the disciples. When you and I come to the scriptures, at some point, our minds are closed. And we have to kind of approach the scriptures. This is the observing part. We have to go to the scriptures and kind of go, well, I don't know if I'm seeing everything. Maybe I am. You don't want to read biasly into it. You want to allow it to read out. So you ask the Lord. This word for opened, it also describes the birth of a firstborn. In other words, this is the first birth that is taking place. You have to understand that within the observation phase, because it's the aha moment. You know, when somebody's teaching, you're like, huh, I never knew it said that. Are you guys with me? Mm-hmm. On Sunday, we had a little birthday celebration. We had a potluck, right, for Sherry, right? And we were back there, and there was a pastor who was visiting, and he was telling me about his ministry in Africa. And I was just listening. I was just praising the Lord, and I was very encouraged because a lot of the things that I would love to see happen, he's experiencing. And I'm like, I'm so happy for you. I'm blessed to hear this. This is encouraging me. And then they were talking about just different things, baptizing people, people getting saved. And he talked about healing, and he says, you know what? People get healed. He says, it's a bizarre ministry. He says, not like the United States of America. Totally different. And he says, I go and I lay hands on people, and it's not my job to heal people, but most people get healed. And so I'm like, man, that is so encouraging. I want that. I'll be honest with you guys. I want that. I want to pray for people and people get healed. I want to preach and people get saved, right? That's exactly what I want. That's what we're in it for, right? He says, Robert, have you ever looked at Matthew 10? Well, of course I've read through it and everything. I don't know that I've ever studied through it, like taught through it, which is where I do more of my word studies. But he says, have you ever studied it? No, I don't think I really have. He says, Jesus said to his disciples, go and heal them. And he pointed out to me something where it was the aha moment. It was, I never saw that before. He didn't say, go and pray that they might be healed. He said, go and heal them. When Jesus commands his disciples to do something, you have to take it by faith just at that level. And so for me, that was my opening. Oh my gosh, I've read through that countless times. But all of a sudden, it took on new meaning. That's right. When we pray for people, we just go and pray. It's going to happen. You have to go into it. Now, we don't determine that God is. He's the source. He's the power behind. Are you guys with me? So whenever those times are for you, that's when God is saying to his disciples, he opened their understanding. He gave birth, something first. I've never seen that before. And that's what he's talking about here. And then he says, That's the observation aspect of our studying the word. And then he says, I've opened their understanding. This is recognition. This is use of the faculties of intelligence. This is the interpretation aspect of studying the word, where there's understanding. When we get to this, I'm going to lay this out for you. This is where you interpret things. This is where you give definitions. This is where you explain things. That's on that middle section, the I section. And then he says that they might comprehend the scriptures. And this word comprehend, it means to bring together, the assembling of individual facts into an organized whole. It's collecting pieces of a puzzle and putting them together. This is the application. This is where we go from, oh, wow, I never saw that before. Oh, that's what that means. And then, oh, here's how I need to apply it. That's the application. Are you with me? So Jesus even promised that. So as we get into this, I want you to understand this. Observation answers the question, what do the scriptures say? Observation answers the question, what do the scriptures say? Yogi Berra said it this way. If you've ever heard Yogi Berra, if you've never read Yogi Berra quotes, they're a crack up. Yogi Berra was a coach for, I think, the New York Yankees, right? Amen? Kind of amen? Can you? I guess you can amen a truth, right?
Amen.
He was a coach, yeah? Okay, so Yogi Berra was a New York... He might have been a player, too. He probably was a player. A lot of times they do that. He was a good player. But he was a good coach. But he had these radical quotes. Here's a quote for you. He says, you can see a lot just by looking. Right? And he just said these off the wall, or just really simple things. And he sold them out. Like, they're like, man, this is deep, all right? You know, he just said them like, you can see a lot by looking. And that's what observation is. We're going to talk about that tonight. It's at least the first part of it. You can learn a lot just by looking. So where do we start? We start with the first step, which is prayer. That's the first step. The first thing I want you guys to do with the homework, I'm going to go over this again with you. The first thing I want you to do is I want you to pray. I want you to beg. I want you to plead with the Lord. Please give me understanding. Everybody turn to Psalm 119. This is one of my favorite scriptures. If you've been around here for any length of time, this is a memory verse. Psalm 119, verse 18. Listen, when you pray, it takes humility because you have to humble yourself and say, God, please remove the veil from my eyes. I want to see the spiritual truths. And Spirit, I need you to reveal that to me. And so if you're turning there to Psalm 119, this is the longest chapter in the Bible, and it's about the Word of God. And in Psalm 119, verse 18, we're going to see that the psalmist writes this beautiful, beautiful passage. We went to Luke 24, right? Jesus said he promises that's the way he's going to do it, right? He's going to give us opening, understanding, comprehension. This psalmist says the exact same thing here in this verse, but it's done in the form of a prayer. And so he says in Psalm 119, verse 18, he says, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from thy law or from your law. Open my eyes, that's the observation point to this. It means open, it's the Hebrew word galah, and it means to uncover, to request something, to discover a thing. This is the awareness. Oh, wow, this is what I'm seeing, right? Observing is looking, it's seeing, it's noticing. When I'm teaching, and I want you to see something, if you're paying attention, if you stick to this by the end of the year, you'll be able to understand, I go through the same steps, right through the steps in my sermons. Do you see this word right here? Do you know what it means? I just went from observe to interpret. And I'll say that. Do you see this word right here? Open my eyes. It's the Hebrew word galah. What this word means is it's I. And that's the way you teach. It's good, solid teaching. This is the awareness, right? And then it says that I may see. This is the interpretation portion of the study. This word see means, it's the Hebrew word nabat. It means to look or to regard something. It's the apprehension, right? The understanding that takes place. And then the last part, he talks about the wondrous things from thy law. This is the application portion. The wondrous, it's pala in the Hebrew. It means to reveal something. Those things, this word means unsearchable. Beyond one's power to understand. When God called me into the ministry, I'll try and make this quick. He gave me a dream. And I was working at Ganal Lumber, and I worked in the hardwoods department. Right next to the hardwoods department was the finish mill. And they did all the finish, you know, parts, all the real detail woodworking things. They'd make corbels. They would put rounded edges. They would put all kinds of details in wood. They make handrails, all these fancy things they would make. And in my dream, the Lord said, you know, there's this man, he was the Ancient of Days, right? He had this big old beard, and he's like, Robert, come here, I want to show you something. And I'm like, oh, okay. And so he took me into the finish mill, and he began putting this router on, this piece of wood on a table that had a router in it, and he was putting an edge on it. And then he was talking about, you know, Robert, I'm going to show you these things so that you can show other people. And I said, what things are you going to show him? And he says, I'm going to show you things that are unsearchable. And the picture that he gave, the, at least the way that I took it, is, you know, when you put your hands together and you see just a little crack of light? For me, I saw like this little crack of light, and he says, I just want you to keep digging in and digging in, and pretty soon you're going to break through and you're going to see things that are unsearchable. You'll see just a crack of light in the scripture. You'll observe it and you'll say, what does that mean? And as he opens our eyes, that we may see these unsearchable things. It's completely his job to reveal those things to us, but we've got to be participants. Then it just opens up, and then it is unsearchable. We'll never dig out the scriptures completely. Are you with me? There will never be an exhaustion of understanding. We're going to go into eternity still learning the Word of God. We're just going to learn about Christ forever and ever and ever. And the Lord just told me, I'm going to reveal things to you, and you're going to share them with people. That's why I love the details so much. This is the application portion. So where do we go from there? Where do we go from prayer? We go to the second point, and that is meditation. There has to be meditation. The first thing we need to do is we need to be absorbed in the scriptures. There was a guy named M.A. Rosenoff, and he was a long associate of Thomas Edison, and he worked for years to take wax and to make it into a something that would help him for these chemical, it was called a chemical constitution, but he failed and he failed and he failed. And then he says, after months of thinking about it, he says, it came like a flash of lightning. He says, I could not shut waxes out of my mind, even in my sleep. Suddenly, through headache and days, I saw the solution. Have you had those times where you're thinking about something at work, and you're, you know, all of a sudden you wake up at 3:30 in the morning, like, oh, there it is, I got it, or maybe I forgot this, or you know. So he was thinking; he's absorbed into waxes, and he says, that's it. I thought waxes and waxes and waxes and waxes, and then finally, he got it. He got the solution. When it comes to the Word of God, you and I have to do the same thing. We've got to absorb ourselves into the Scriptures. I want to put the challenge out there. We live in a world, church, where it is so quick and so fast-paced. It's hard to take a time out. And if you take a time out, a lot of times people will think you're idle. You almost get criticized for slowing things down, but that's the very thing that we should be doing. There's some things I absolutely hate about this world. I hate that we live in such a fast-paced world that we can't slow down and have more fellowship, that we can't, you know, it's too much. There's too much going on. But if you don't do more going on, then you're kind of left behind. It's this really weird dynamic. But what God says is, don't worry about all those peripheral things. Just focus on me. And I want you to meditate on me. I want you to be absorbed in me. I'm telling you the secrets. These are not like, wow, mind-blowing secrets. You mean really just get into the Word? Yeah, get into the Word and absorb into it. We really need to bring this back. It's a thing of the past we need to bring back. People are thought of as daydreamers or scientists or novelists, super saints, giants of the faith, because they spend so much time just focusing on the Scriptures, but that's what we need to do. We need to think the Bible. We need to live the Scriptures. We need to be consumed with God's holy Word. The second thing, as far as meditation goes, is we need to be digestive with the symbols. There's a guy named Thomas Brooks. He was a Puritan writer, and he gave a wonderful illustration. Ladies, get ready. I know you guys just date, so get ready for this. He gave the classic illustration of a cow in the process of mastication. All right, so if you don't know what mastication is, it is when a cow goes out in the early mornings before the heat, it comes up, right, before the sun rises, and they're just chewing, and they're eating the grass. And then later on, when it gets hot, they sit down in the shade, and they just kind of, And then because their stomachs have different compartments, they take it from one compartment to another, and they bring it back up, and they chew on it. They masticate. It's called chewing on the cud. Although it might be gross, it's a great digestive principle for the Word of God. what we're supposed to do is go to the manna, eat it, digest it, chew on it a little bit, kind of let it, okay, I think I get a little bit more, and then regurgitate it, chew on it some more, right? It's kind of gross, huh? But it is a wonderful principle and illustration. Listen, if we were with the youth only, you guys would be getting some pretty good illustrations right now.
Yeah, I bet.
I'm gonna stop. We're on social media. I'm not gonna go. Hey, you want to hear some good stories? Come to me afterwards. I have no problem talking about those things, except for like right now. Maybe you have some of your own. So you see, we need to approach the Word of God in the same manner. We need to take the Word, eat it, really chew on it. What does this mean? Swallow it. Let it kind of sit there for a little while, and then bring it back up and chew on it some more. There will be times where I'll be studying, and Monica's like, she'll ask me, are you done with your study? No, I'm not done with my study. It's down in this compartment right now, you know? I'm just digesting a little bit, right? I'm masticating. Oh, here we go. And the next morning I get up, and it's come back out of that. Are you guys with me? Good. Okay. So I will do silly things for the sake of understanding. I want you to know this. So I know there's silliness in this. Would you please understand this? God, you guys listening? Listen. Pinch the person next to you if they're not listening. God is absolutely honored in this. God is absolutely honored in this. When we would consider his word to be so precious that we would eat it, take it down, chew on it, digest it, bring it back up, mull it over some more. What is he saying? My studies are very, unless I have a window of like 2 or 3 hours and that's it, I will study straight through and then I'll go and I'll teach it. But usually, like tonight, I'll go home, I'll do a few things, I'll start the next thing because I'm chewing it, right? I'm getting it in there, right? Let it digest, and then tomorrow I bring it back up. You guys with me? That's what we're supposed to do, and God is honored with that. God is honored with our efforts. Are you guys with me? God is fair. He's just. 1 Samuel 2:30, don't turn there for the sake of time, but he says, those who honor me, I will honor. 1 Samuel 2:30, those who honor me, the participation first must come from us. Those who honor me, I will honor. When you honor the Lord in this fashion, to absorb it, to digest it, to bring it back up, mull it back over, when you put the work in, I guarantee you, you're going to grow. That's his promise. We've already seen it in the New Testament. We're seeing it here. 1 Timothy 4:15, if you're taking notes, is another great one. There's another great promise. 1 Timothy 4:15. Listen to the result. What are we supposed to do? And what is the result? It says, meditate. This is the second point we're talking about. Meditate on these things. Give yourselves entirely to them that, and here's the result, here's the promise, that your progress may be evident to all. Listen, I'm not trying to single anybody out. Okay? But when you come to church, when you're around Christians, there are some people that are growing and some people that are not. That's just a fact. Everybody goes through seasons, and some growth is more than others. But I'm telling you this, we want to just be steady. And people who are like this or just flatlined, it's because they're not investing. You have got to. When we're talking about a year from now, where our church is going to be, the people who have invested, please be disciplined, church. Please keep coming back. We're not looking for population here. We're looking for growth. We're looking for distance. How much is the church growing like this? Please come back every week. Please don't stop coming. Please give yourselves entirely, because he says your progress may be evident to all. People will see you growing. It's the same thing with working out. People who are disciplined, if you put it out there and you're dieting and you're exercising, your body's going to change and people are going to see it. It's going to be evident to all because hard work is put in. You can't get anything in this world that's worth anything unless you put hard work into it. Please be disciplined, church. I'm begging you, because I want to see a different church. Not like not different people, you know. I'd like to see different people too, but you know, are you guys with me? Like, I want to see like people grown a year from now. And this is like so substantial. Someone once said that one in 100 Christians read Scripture regularly. One in 1,000 memorize Scripture, but only one in 10,000 meditate on Scripture. Meditation is the skeleton key that unlocks the greatest storeroom in the house of God's provisions for the Christian. Did you know Jesus gives us the invitation for this? Go ahead and turn to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, verse 31. Mark chapter 6, verse 31. Jesus is speaking, and I want you to hear the invitation that he gives to his disciples. And it's just like what he's saying to you tonight. What he wants you to do tomorrow, give your first fruits to him. When you first wake up in the morning, I want you to do Mark 6, 31. He gets his disciples. He's talking with them. He cares about them. And when you care about people, you want to spend time with them. And so he wants to spend time. And he says in Mark chapter 6, verse 31, he says to his disciples, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. Tomorrow morning, get up. Listen, 5 minutes. It's just like working out. If you haven't worked out in a long time, then just give 5 minutes. Just get up, pray for 2 or 3 minutes, read for a minute, you know, but get into the Word. Beg him, please, God, open your Word to me. I guarantee you this, he's not going to let you come out empty-handed. Do you know that's what the priests do? Exodus 29, the priests come to the Lord and they have their hands open. And you know what he does? He fills it with things. That's the way we're supposed to come as the priests, is to come to him with our hands open, and he deposits things. He ensconces them right into our hands. So we need to be absorbed in the Word. We need to digest it thoroughly. We also need to establish the context. The word context, this is the third part of meditation, okay? The word context is derived from two Latin words, con and texo. Con means with, texo means to weave. So literally, I was going to get a picture. I'll try and have it by next week. But I've got this picture where there's a thread and a needle, and it's going in and out of Scripture. When you're reading Scripture properly, by the way, listen, these things are going to have, it's called a cyclical effect. Later on, when we're studying the cults, you're going to want to know a lot about context, and you're going to learn how to do it. So when they say, well, the Bible says this, you read the context. You thread in and out of the Scriptures. Does that line up with all of the Scriptures? Did Jesus teach us? Did the disciples promote that? Did they live it out, right? You just go to the New Testament and you get tested by these things. Is it said? Does it happen? Is it active in the New Testament? Sounds like you're a little bit off, you know. And I'll give you more illustrations later, but this is weaving Scripture to Scripture to Scripture, and that's what we need to be doing. We need to be looking at the Scriptures. Now, everybody turn to John chapter 8. And then we're going to look at Matthew 12:2, and I'm going to get you to participate a little bit here. John chapter 8, I want you to tell me the context of verse 32. Now, I gave you the principle, right? It's weaving Scripture together. If you know anything about context, one of the best things you can do, look around. Context is observation. So John chapter 8, verse 32 says this, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Well, what's he talking about, knowing the truth? What's the context? How are you going to know the truth? It's context. Look right around it.
It says his word in verse 31.
Verse 31 says what?
Mine's King James.
We'll forgive
you. Then said Jesus
to
those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples.
So obedience to the word will produce knowledge of truth. Are you guys with me? So a lot of times we go to these scriptures and people will take them completely out of context. And sometimes the principle kind of works, right? But it may not completely fit. And that's why we have to go into the context. So you're going to know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Well, what is the truth? Well, Jesus is the truth. Well, yeah, he's the truth. We know that from John 14:6. We're weaving, right? However, the immediate context of what Jesus was talking about is found in verse 31. He says, when you're obedient to my word, then you're going to know the truth. People who don't obey God's word, they don't know truth. They're deceived. Christians who don't obey God's word, there's some sort of deception that takes place there at some level. I don't know completely, but at some level. Okay, so let's turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And I'll pick this up in the third point, and we'll get to some practice, hopefully in about 10 minutes. So Romans chapter 12, verse 2. I'm going to read verse 2, and then I want you to answer for me some questions. Okay? He says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, he says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So how is it that we're not to be conforming to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind? Context. Anybody want to take a stab at that? Follow the same pattern we did last time? Verse 1, right? The verse right before it kind of lays it out. How is it that you're not conformed by the world? How is it that you're transformed by the renewing of your mind? Verse 1 says, yeah, you're a living sacrifice. You're to live holy lives. When you do that, you're not conformed to the world. Again, you want to see the principle? Look at the Christians that are on fire. Look at the Christians that you know, they're not living holy lives, and they are conforming to the world. Think of the churches in the last, 10, 15 years, like with homosexuality, right? And they put bishops in place that are full-blown, outspoken homosexuals. That is absolutely against Scripture. That is totally wrong. Are you guys with me? And it's because they've perverted the Word of God. So, we need to present ourselves in this way, holy sacrifices. The third point that we're going to look at today, this is the third step, and I'll go through this pretty quickly, but I want you to understand this. It's about inspection. When you've soaked in the passage and you've been taking it in, our approach needs to go into inspection. The first point of inspection is FOTO, F-O-T-O. Everybody write F-O-T-O. This is an acronym. FOTO is focus on the obvious. Again, resist the temptation to look at the study notes of the Bible. You want to be disciplined. Read the Scripture just to read it. Before I go to commentaries, I want to read the Scriptures and let the Holy Spirit speak to me. That's what I want to do. I still go to commentaries because they pick up things that I don't pick up on. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I try to discipline myself to read through first and then write. I write my notes out, my thoughts. And then after I'm like, I feel like I've kind of dug this out completely, then I go and I look, and sometimes I pull in some other insights. So I do that a lot. So let me ask you a question. Have you guys ever put a puzzle together?
Yes.
Right? Listen, this is a really good illustration for the observation part of it. When you first do it, when you are putting a puzzle together, you lay it all out, right? You put everything up, face up, right? Never anything down, and you look for things. What are the things that you look for when you're going to do a puzzle? What's the very first thing that you look for?
Edges
and corners. And then you lay it out, right? You get that. And then what's the next thing that you look for?
Centers.
What?
Biggest piece that you can find the pieces for.
Okay, pieces that go together, patterns, right? Alex, what were you going to say?
Pieces that go in the center.
Pieces that go in the center, right? Things that kind of come together that are formed. A lot of times you'll take a box and you'll look at it, right? And you'll look for maybe lines that go together and you try and piece those things and then you put them about where they're supposed to be, right? You're looking for things that are obvious, right? This is that part of inspection. When you first observe the Scriptures in this O part, you're just looking for the obvious. That's the main thing that you want to do. The next thing you want to do is you want to notice every detail. Listen, I want to get the email for everybody. I think I've got everybody's email here. If I don't, the kids, I'll send it to your parents. Listen, I'm going to send you a document I want you to read before next week. It's about a professor, Agassiz, right? His name, Agassiz. And the name of this PDF article is The Student, the Fish, and Agassiz. What Agassiz did is he went to his students and he says, I want you to look at this fish. And he says, I want you to tell me what you see. It is a classic illustration for how to observe things, and it will work really well into our next study. And he just says, you haven't looked hard enough. So I don't want to ruin it for you. But what you do when you notice every detail is you read it. the passage. Then you reread it. Then you reread it again, and then you review it. It's about going over and going over and going over. My father-in-law just bought a house, and we went out and we were looking at it, right? You know what we did? We went through with a fine-tooth comb, and we were looking for problems. So we're walking out. Okay, there's a paint chip here. Oh, there's a chip in the stain. Look, at there's part of the window, you know, dressing that's not right. So we were going through and we were trying to find every single thing. We went with a scrutiny. Normally when we go to people's houses, we don't do that, right? We don't go, hey, you know what? What's going on with your house over here? You got some stains on the wall. I'm sorry. I'm trained to do that. I'm a Bible student, okay? I come to scriptures. My pastor says this is a good thing. We go and we look and we observe. And that would be rude, right? But on this occasion, it was called for. Find everything. We turn the heat or the turn the oven on. And it starts steaming. Oh, something's wrong here, you know. It was more than steaming. It was smoking, right? We went through. Mike was looking at with the electrical, every electrical outlet in the house. He's looking, seeing if there's a good current going through, right? That's appropriate. And that's a really good example, because when you go to the scriptures, you want to be scrutinizing. You want to be interrogating. You want to be inspecting. And that's what we do with the Word of God. And I'm telling you, you're gonna see so much. Remember the word for wondrous in Psalm 119, verse 18? It means unsearchable. But go ahead and search and keep searching and keep searching. So how do we get deeper? The last thing I'm going to say here tonight before we go to our promise, what I promised you was we're going to go to our practice, is how do we go deeper? Is there a way to get deeper, to gain deeper insights? Do I have a tool? The answer is yes. I've got a really good tool, and it's called questions. If you ask a good question, you'll get a good answer. If you ask a poor question, you're going to get a poor answer. Did you have a good day today? This is called a close-ended question. Did you have a good day today? Yes. How was your day today? What did you do today? What made your day great?